All right, we'll take the Word of God to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We started talking about living in the last days last week. And I don't know that we'll always do verse by verse in this, but at least so far we have been. Peter, really, both 1 and 2 Peter deal so much with the last days. And as I have been looking at this, there's so much that we need to know. And my goal tonight and in this series is to be very practical. But I do not plan to be very long tonight, so I trust you'll give the Word of God your attention here. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfailing love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So I want to focus on, there's a phrase in verse 17 that says, pass the time of your sojourning. Pass the time of your sojourning. So Father, help us as we've opened your word, help us to rightly divide it for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Last time we were together in this chapter, we talked about how we are strangers, we're pilgrims passing through this life just temporarily. And we focused last week on verse 8 that says, having not seen ye love. We have not seen Jesus in His flesh, but we love Him and we're serving Him and we're awaiting His coming. Now as we're looking at this text, we're thinking about passing the time of our sojourning, to further the point that we're temporarily on this earth. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You only get one chance. The world has it right in this regard. The world is often quoted as saying, you only live once. You ever heard that phrase, you only live once? It's very true. But there's more to it than you only live once. You'll also die, every one of us, and live somewhere forever after that. And what we do in this life determines that, and it must be decided. So as we're passing the time of our sojourning, what are some things we need to know? Well, in the text, in verse 13, it says, wherefore. So what's the wherefore, therefore? It's there because we're talking about how we love Him who we have not seen, that we've received the end of our faith, the salvation of our soul, the salvation what the prophets have inquired about, searching for what time the Spirit of Christ would come. So knowing that we have the salvation the prophets desired, you do realize that. You have something Abraham and Isaac and Jacob did not have. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit, the full story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all the things they didn't have, you have. So because of this, there are three things we need to look at tonight. Number one, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. We're going to talk about something tonight that's a common theme in the Bible. We're going to talk about body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. You realize that you are a Trinity? Making sure. Okay, making sure. A few of you looked a little confused. You're a Trinity. Just like God is a Trinity. You are a body, soul, and a spirit. Every one of you have a body. Raise your hand if you have a body. You know how I know you have a body? You just lifted part of it up. You have a body. But you also have a soul. That's who you are. And then you have a spirit. So the soul is what you are. It's who you are. The spirit is the mind, the emotions, the feelings, everything on the inside that no one else sees. The soul is just life. That's who you are. The spirit is everything going on up here. That's a scary thought. But then your body is what you're in right now. And you're only in that body for a time. So on this earth, in these last days, what do we need to know? Well, we need to be holy as He is holy. That's what we just read. We just sang that song, Take Time to Be Holy. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. We need to talk about our mind for a moment, our spirit, our mind, will, emotions. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, what it means, when it says to gird up your loins, this implies you're going to work. The men's robes they wore in Bible days were designed to where you could gird up the loins. You could actually take like a belt and you could pull it up from between your legs and make it quicker to run or to walk and to work. And the idea of girding up the loins is I'm about to be very busy. You would gird up your loins before you'd run. I mean, none of you men should raise your hands, but how many of you ladies have ever tried to run in a dress? I've never tried to do it. My wife can testify, and a few of you, that's very difficult, I'm sure. I've never done it. I'll be very honest. But the idea is, if you have a long flowing robe, you would gird up your loins in preparation to do something. You're about to get busy, so gird up your loins. Here we're told to gird up the loins of our mind. That means get ready to do something. You're getting productive with your mind. He says to be sober. That means we don't even have something messing with our mind. Now, let me just go ahead and go there. We're living in the last days. Everybody in the world with a smartphone is on the internet, and they're talking about all these signs and wonders and conspiracies. We've got to be careful to keep our mind sober. We can't. When we talk about being sober-minded, we're not just talking about alcohol, although it fits. You ought not to be getting drunk. That's just clear from Scripture. We ought not to be drunks. But being sober is so much more than that. I'll be honest, there are times that I'm not sober-minded. There's times I'm distracted. I'm tired. I'm overworked. I'm thinking about a million things at once. And I just, somebody said that men can turn their brain off. You all know that? How many of you men can testify? We can turn it off sometimes. Sometimes you can't. Women, they said that women's brain is like having a computer with 15 tabs open and you're trying to figure out which one of the tabs is playing the music because you don't know which one. That's supposed to be funny. Where's my sign? Who stole my sign? That's supposed to be funny. Women are amazing at multitasking. Us men, not so much. But all of us have to be careful to keep our minds sober. There's a verse that you should memorize. It's Philippians 4:8. If you're in the habit of taking notes, write down Philippians 4:8. Here's what it says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. If you want to be able to praise God and do what's right in your mind, you got to be thinking about the right things. And really, it's summarized in the end. If there's virtue and praise, think about it. If it brings glory to God, think about it. But that's hard to do, isn't it? One of my favorite things about the job I've been doing for the last few weeks is I have a lot of time to think. There's just machines running, I can think. That's also one of my least favorite things about the job. Is hours and hours of being able to think. If I'm not careful, I will get myself all worked up over nothing. I can get myself convinced something's worse than it really is. We have to be sober in our mind. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Whatsoever things are true. If you know there's an individual who is full of lies, stay away from them. If you know that TV program is going to get your mind mixed up, don't watch it. If you know that music is going to drag you down and get depressed, don't listen to it. We have to be intentional about the things we allow into our brain. Now, let's be honest. There's nothing wrong with turning the brain off. Sometimes we need to not think, right? I mean, it's okay. If you've had a long week, a long day, it's okay to watch a movie with the family. It's a good thing to listen to some music and unwind. Those are all good things, but we have to be careful. That's the point we want to make tonight, is we must be careful with what we're allowing into our mind. If you think about it, the amount of time that we're at church each week is just a couple of hours a week, if that. So the rest of the time, what are you doing with your time? Even when you're here, you can turn me off and have your mind on something else. We must be very careful and intentional with our mind. Be sober. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If you read the rest of that chapter, it talks about how He became a humble servant and died for us. So we must have the mind of Christ in these last days. So gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The context, again, we're talking about living in the last days, is get our mind clear and be hoping to the end. What that means is we're trusting. We're waiting on the coming of the Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ could take place today. And when He comes, I want Him to find me with my mind in the right place. And I'm looking for the Lord's coming. He says, how do we do this? He says, as obedient children. So now we're moving on past just the mind. But it has to start there. We have to start with the mind. Now we're going to talk about the body. Mind over matter is a real thing. You know what they say? A great amount of being healthy is the mindset. They actually say this, that the key to being healthy, it's only like 20% exercise. It's like 80% diet. It's mostly what you put into your body that affects your health. Now, I know y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all don't want to hear that. You're hoping that if you can do a few curls of a donut that you'll get better. But what you're putting into your body is affecting your health most of all. That's just the reality. And I'm putting one finger at you and three back at me. Because I'm sitting up here going, all right, Tubby. My wife laid out some pants for me the night, and I said, I can't wear those because they're too tight. You know why? Because what I put in my body. Right? It's the pants' fault, actually. But what you put in, I'm just going to move past that. Well, what we put in, we have to be careful with what we're putting in to our mind and to our body, because He says, as obedient children. I can tell you, what we let our kids eat affects the way they act. We let them eat junk, they act like junk. It's true. They got to eat right, they got to get a good night's sleep, they need to take naps. Even Elijah in the Bible, he wanted to die, and God said, all right, Elijah, take a nap and eat something. And he felt a lot better after that. That's in the book of 1 Kings. You don't believe me, look it up in the Bible. Elijah wanted God just to kill him, and God made him take a nap and eat something. That's in the Bible. So your body, He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. Now, I'm not going to ask you for a raise of hands, but every one of us can say there was a time in our life where we did things we shouldn't have done, and it was wrong in our bodies. Some of you may be suffering in your body for things you did a long time ago in your ignorance. Every one of us could say that's us. So now, looking forward, we can't look back. Looking forward, we need to be obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. What is holy? Holy means it's separated. It's called out for a purpose. And you are to be holy because God is holy. You do realize God is a specific person, a personality, a specific being, and He has restricted Himself to certain things. That's what He has set for Himself. He's done the same for us. He's called us to be something. The famous text of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, that means I beg you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've all been instructed by Scripture to give our body as a living sacrifice. Not a one-time thing, but a constant living sacrifice to the glory of God. The Scripture says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Where is it written? Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. In that context, he's talking about eating junk. He said, don't eat junk because I'm holy and you're holy. Now, of course, that does mean physical food. But we're going back to the spiritual things we allow into our mind. This is an election year. You watch the news all day, you're going to get really depressed. I got bad news for you. You got two options for president. The same two you had last time. And they're no better this time. That's depressing, isn't it? We can't allow that to control the way we're living. I've got news for you. We had tornadoes here in Topeka the other day, and there's more coming. But if you just think about that, you'll be scared to death and not get any sleep. I've got news for you. Summer's coming early, and boy, is it humid. But if that's all you think about. You see, there's all these things that are just part of our life, but we have to balance them. We have to... How about this? I've got news for you. Tomorrow, you're going to be tempted to do wrong. Tomorrow, you're going to be tempted to sin. And you've got to ask yourself, am I going to be holy, or am I going to fashion myself according to the lust of my ignorance of the past? You can't change what you did 40 years ago. But what you do today and tomorrow is up to you. Be holy, for I am holy. He says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Let me ask you, how many of you believe that your Heavenly Father truly is alive? Can I see your hand? You believe God's alive? How many of you believe that you are God's child? Would you raise your hand? Now here's the scary one. How many of you believe that your Heavenly Father sees everything you're doing? You believe that? Now doesn't that scare you a little bit? It does. So you said, you trying to scare me? Oh yes, I am. I'm amazed. It's amazing the stuff the kids do you don't have to teach them. I walk in and Leland will be doing something. I say, what are you doing? Nothing. Don't you, buddy? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. You know why? You know what changed his action when he knew his Father was watching? And if we will live our life knowing our Father is watching, in these last days, we must be aware our Heavenly Father is watching us. He hears the things we're saying, the things we're thinking, the things we're allowing into our mind. He very much knows. So he says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So now we're going on to our soul. Look at verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's interesting that Peter is once again telling us the gospel story. And you know why? You know why every time we meet, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we talk about the gospel? Because when you realize my sin cost Jesus His life, my sin required God to fix me, my sin grieves God, those are the things that will cause us to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. We need to remember this. You need to know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Aren't you glad that God did not pay the price of your redemption with American dollars? How many of you remember when American dollars used to say on their silver certificate? Do y'all remember those days? That meant the money actually had real money backing it up. Nowadays, it's monopoly money. It just says Federal Reserve note. It's only worth something because they say it's worth something and we think it's worth something. It's really paper. It doesn't mean much. And it's all going to burn up. And America's over $30 trillion in debt. We will never get out of it. Never. That's over $100,000 per American citizen. Did you know each of you are $100,000 in debt? Or at least the federal government is in your name? That's how much money we owe. We will never get out of it. Aren't you glad that our Heavenly Father did not redeem us with corruptible things? Now notice, He doesn't mention Federal Reserve notes, which is like the bottom of the list. He actually mentions silver and gold. I believe in the gold standard. I wish we were back on it. But even He says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. But or the vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Not even our family traditions is what saved us. We need to remember that. Well, we were Baptist, we're Catholic, we're Protestant, we're this. You weren't saved by any of those things. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but in these last days has been made manifest for us. Remember this, in these last days, we're talking about living in the last days. Hebrews 1:1 says, God at sundry times and diverse manners spake by the prophets, but in these last days He speaks to us through Jesus Christ. The very God, the very Christ who was foreordained for the foundation of the world has been made manifest for you for such a time as this. We see the blood is what saves our soul. The sovereignty of God gives us comfort. Look what it says. Who by Him do believe in God. We believe in God because He's opened our eyes to the truth. Jesus was foreordained for the foundation of the world. But God has opened our eyes and manifested His Son to us. That's a wonderful thing. We believe in God who raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. In these last days, we must never forget what Jesus has done for us. This coming Lord's Day, we'll be taking the Lord's table. We'll be remembering what Jesus has done for us. And we must do that often. As often as you do it, in remembrance of Him, we show the Lord's death till He come. We believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So how are we purified? By obeying the truth. By obeying the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus Christ. Jesus said, what is the will of Him that sent me? That Jesus said that I will finish the work. That is of all that He gives me, I'll lose nothing. But He said the will for each of us is that if you see the Son, you might believe. You obey the truth by believing on Christ. Here's a conclusion. What are we to do in these last days? Keep our mind clean and on Christ. Keep our spirit clean on Christ. With our body, live for Christ. And remember what saved our soul. We need to know this. But the conclusion is this. He said, love one another with a pure heart fervently. John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. I've told you this before, but may I remind you? He didn't say, love one another, and that's it. He said, love one another as I have loved you. When He said, love your neighbor as yourself, that was pretty easy. That just means if I don't want to get slapped in the face, I shouldn't slap that guy in the face. That's pretty easy, right? That's not the commandment we have for each other. That's the commandment we have for everybody outside of this building. Everybody outside of this building, you love them like you love yourself. You know the commandment, what we're told to do with the other believers, the other disciples? To love each other as Christ loves them. That means I should be willing to lay down my life for you. And you should be willing to lay down your life for them. And we should be serving one another. That changes everything, doesn't it? That's what Jesus said. He said it was a new commandment He gave us. To love one another with a pure heart fervently. A true love. So we need to love one another. Number two, we need to trust in the Word of God. Look what it says. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How were you born again? Was it by becoming a Baptist? Was it by joining the church or taking communion or getting baptized? You were born again by believing this book. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. Lester Roloff used to say, that's why I don't like people messing with my Bible. He said, don't monkey with my mama, is how he'd say. He said, God's my father, but I was saved by, I was born by the word of God. Don't mess with my mama. Don't take things out of this book. We are born again by incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Lastly, understand that everything we have will perish, but the word of God is eternal. Listen to these last verses. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Grass was cut here at the church yesterday. You know what happened to all that grass that got cut? It's already gone. That's your life. That was your grandpa's life, and his grandpa's life, and his grandpa's life. It was like grass that was here, and now it's gone. That's just something we need to realize, that our life is short, but the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Last thing I want to do is I want to read to you from 2 Peter and we're done. I'm not going to add any comment. I want you to hear these words. Hear this. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 10 through 13. Listen to these words carefully and we're done. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Notice that. The earth and everything burn up. This building, your house, everything gone. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Remember, we're passing the time of our sojourning with fear. Everything we have will be gone. So what manner of persons ought we to be? Let's pray together. Father, help us to do these things.